Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Suta Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Sukadev Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. Purport. The word satim is very significant. This means existing and chaste. And both imports are perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna without diversion, as instructed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Thank you. Fortunately, Maharaj Parikshit had already been attracted to the Lord from the very beginning of his body, in the womb of his mother. In the womb of his mother, he was struck by a Brahmastra atomic bomb released by Ashwatthama. But by the grace of the Lord, he was saved from being burnt by the fiery weapon. And since then, the king continuously concentrated his mind on Lord Krishna, which made him perfectly chaste and in devotional service. And when he further heard from Sukadev Goswami that one should worship the Lord only and no one else, even though full of desires or desireless, his natural affection for Krishna was strengthened. We have already discussed these topics. To become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, two things are very much essential. Namely, having a chance to be born in a family of a devotee. And having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. By the grace of such devotees as the Pandavas, and just to continue the dynasty of the Pandavas and show them special favor, the Lord specifically saved Maharaj Parikshit, who later on, by the arrangement of the Lord, was cursed by a boy of a Brahmana and was able to get the association of a spiritual master, such a spiritual master as Sukadev Goswami. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the fortunate person, by the mercy of the spiritual master, and Lord Krishna achieves the path of devotional service. This was perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. By way of being born in a family of devotees, he automatically became in touch with Krishna. And after being so contacted, he constantly remembered him. Consequently, Lord Krishna gave the king a further chance for development in devotional service by introducing him to Sukadev Goswami, a stalwart devotee of the Lord with a perfect knowledge in self-realization. And hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, he was perfectly able to concentrate his chaste mind further upon Lord Krishna as a matter of course. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Samake Chakshu Omilatam Yana Tasme Sri Gurave Namaha. And thank you. Any blessings are coming, please pass them on. But also, we're blessed in hearing this wonderful purport here by Srila Prabhupada. And when I look at this, some things come to mind. We're talking about, it's almost as though Prabhupada's talking about himself. You know, but first we'll just go through sort of paragraph by paragraph. The word satim is very significant. It means existing and chaste. Existing, now I'd like anybody's opinion what this means. He's existing and chaste. Satim. He's fixed. Existing. That's what I can understand by it. He's existing, but he's chaste. He's fixed and he's chaste. Anybody else comment on that? Okay. And both imports are perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna without any diversion, as instructed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. And that refers to Sarvasya Chaham Hirdi Sanavisto Matas Mritir Opahanam Cha Vedis Chasavair Aham Eva Vedio Vidantakrit Veda Ved Eva Chaham. And he says, I'm situated in everybody's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. And then it says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Krishna saying, I am to be known by the Vedas. And then he says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I'm the compiler of the Vedanta. He's come in form of Veda Vyas. He takes different manifestations in different situations. And this is the wonderful thing. Super soul has so many expansions. The super soul that has created this universe. And we're on the process of creation. And super soul is Karna Dakshai Vishnu. He's bringing about the material universe is just by his breathing, and by breathing out, in and out, in and out. There's the cycle of many universes destroyed and created, and so this Karna Dakshai Vishnu, you could say, is the source or the part of the process of creation. Now, why go through all this creation? You know, it sort of begs the question in a sense that somehow we have to find out more about Krishna to deepen our faith. It's telling, you know, it's like in the Bible, it says first he created the earth and then just very short descriptions. But with this Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear of the many facets of Krishna and his creation and how it all comes from him and how we can see him at every moment. He says, I'll think of the verse later. But anyway, it says, for one who sees me, yeah, for one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So King Parikshit is going to be this person. He's not going to be lost. He's fixed. He's existing. he's attracted to the Lord from the very beginning of his body in this womb of his mother, Uttara. And and he was saved from the Brahmastra, this fiery weapon. Since then, the king continually concentrated his mind on Lord Krishna, which made him perfectly chaste in devotional service. That means he's not wandering about through demigod worship or impersonal Brahman. He's in devotional service, bhakti yoga. And so he's chaste. His mind, because is totally devoted to the Lord, everything and every thought is somehow connected with Krishna. So by natural sequence, he was a chaste devotee of the Lord. And when he further heard from Srila Sukadev Goswami that one should worship the Lord only and no one else, even though full of desires or desireless, his natural affection for Krishna was strengthened. We have already discussed these topics in the previous, they're referring to the previous chapter. But they're talking about devotional qualities, belief in the Lord, and different stages of approaching the Lord, and who is the Lord, was in that previous chapter. And so we've already discussed that. So, but he says, and this is interesting, Sukadev Goswami said that he should worship the Lord only and no one else, even though full of desires or desireless. That's an interesting comment about King Parikshit. Although he was full of desires, all desires, and or desireless, his natural affection for Krishna was strengthened. Now, his desire was really Krishna's desire. So you could call that desireless. His natural affection was strengthened. It was confirmed by his spiritual master. He's there. But not only that, to become a devotee of Krishna, two things are very much essential. Namely, to have a chance to be born in a family of a devotee and having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Lord Krishna. Now, I'll just look up the Bhagavad Gita verse to do with this. It says here in, I think it's 4, 9 and 10. It says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body take birth again in the material world, but goes to my eternal abode. And then it's followed by, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified and thus attained transcendental love for me. And here we have King Parikshit. He's a classic example of this. He's attained that state. And then it says, it talks about later in the Bhagavad Gita, the unsuccessful yogi after many, many births on the planets of the pious of living beings is born again into a family of righteousness. He we talk about Prabhupada here. He's talking about this. To become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, two things are very much essential. Namely, the chance to be born in a family of a devotee and having the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, Prabhupada was one of these things, one of these persons, special persons, we could say. But there again, there is the other point of view, the Shaktivesh avatar. So Shaktivesh avatar is an eternal associate of the Lord. He's come. And but he followed this process, actually. He's been brought into a family of Vaishnavas. He's been to complete his mission, you could say. Shaktivesh avatar is like, you could say that that somehow with Jesus being Prabhupada explains as also a Shaktivesh avatar. He's empowered. And they say the Son of God. So Prabhupada explains that actually we're all sons of God. It's just that somehow or other that we're tiny. Let's put it this way. We've been conditioned by somehow or other. We've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. And it says in Chiksastakam, please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So we're trying to move towards that. We're trying to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps, that somehow or other that we've got the blessings of each other's association, and probably in a Vaishnava family, some of you. Excuse me. And having the bona fide blessings of a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Lord Krishna, King Parikshit had both opportunities. And this is what Prabhupada started up his mission for. He's bringing about this Bhagavad Gita into life, the life of completely unqualified persons. You know, I can remember there's a conversation and they were all discussing how, and asking Prabhupada, yes, are we, you know, we must have been born in a family to come to, he says. But he said, no, you're mercy cases, that's all. You're just Krishna's mercy cases. Don't deceive yourself. You know, it's really that he's come to manifest the Lord's mercy by following the chain of disciplic succession, as he was taught by his meeting with his spiritual master, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta, when they first met him. And because he was into politics then, it seems that our acharyas, they do get involved with early mundane affairs, but they're pious. They're trying to liberate people. But his spiritual master defeated him on that point. This politics is no good. We've got to look at the mission of Lord Chaitanya, which talks about the soul coming and awakening the soul. This is the most important welfare. So also it's interesting to note that in Sri Isha Upanishad it talks about being, I think it's text 5, if I can find, I can get it out. It talks about his arms and legs are everywhere. he's near. I'm sorry, I haven't got it with me, but he says he's to some he's very close. In other words, and others he's very far away. It's for those who are materially attracted, he's very far away. But for those who are following the devotional path, he's very, very close. They experience the Lord within. And so it's very interesting how all these affirmations that come out from Bhagavad Gita and Sri Upanishad is a very wonderful thing. Actually, because we're on the subject of creation, Sri Sri Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. It talks about creation in the Ishapanishad, and it says, which is something, you know, for Sri Ishapanishad, the invocation. It says, Om Purnam Madhipurnam Idam Purnat Purnam Adat Udaya Chate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. The personality of Godhead, he's perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself, because he is the complete whole. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Now, this world has been built for a special purpose, is to facilitate our desires from previous lives. And so it's a special thing. It's perfect prison house. It's the perfect prison house. Now, there's so much to attract us, but if we become attracted to the Lord's spiritual attributes, it will lead us to the path back to him. And so he says then, whatever is produced of the complete whole, it's also complete in itself. So we're now, this is the process of creation. This whole world has been brought about by either our desires to be in the spiritual realm, because we're born at a certain time where Lord Chaitanya has come. So we've been given a facility, a special facility, to be born at the time of Lord Chaitanya's mercy as it is at its peak. And so returning to the purport, that when we get this mercy that's available to us, and also that's been brought about by King Parikshit's dilemma, you could say, of being cursed by a Brahmana boy, Krishna came again in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. It came, and it was by his favor that, though put into difficulties, he accepted that as the mercy of the Lord. And it was at that point of his acceptance that somehow his difficulties was the mercy of the Lord. He sat down there, not knowing what was going to happen next, just to meditate on Lord Krishna. And it was at that time when Lord Krishna, seeing his determination to carry on and still meditate on the Lord, that he didn't know what was going to happen, the Lord sent him, sent Sukadeva Goswami. that he saw the determination. And that's that nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, the thing, even though committing all sorts of sinful activities, abominable activities, he's still considered a saint, even though, because he's rightly situated in his determination to serve the Lord. And there's very nice, I can't remember who the acharya is, but the mood of that devotee is, even if I go to hell, I'm still want to serve Krishna wherever I am. It doesn't matter. I just want devotional service to Krishna. And this is where we have the wonderful opportunity to know that Queen Kunti and Arjuna, they come back with Krishna wherever he's appearing in the material existence. Again and again, they haven't gone to the spiritual world. Their spiritual world is being close to Krishna wherever he is. They're willing to endure the miseries of this world because it's brought them close to Krishna. You know, as Queen Kunti says, let these miseries come because I only think of you more intensely. And likewise, devotional path is very difficult. It has its ups and downs. And we struggle. But this should reinforce our struggle, actually, to know that it's not an easy path. We have to patiently endure the reactions of our past misdeeds. And it says there in 10:14:8 that will the kingdom of God becomes the rightful of inheritance for those who carry on serving the Lord no matter what circumstance. And so this is the wonderful thing. And also in Shikshakshikam, the final prayer, which is a reflection of Srimati Radharani's chastity. It says, oh my goodness, this fleeting memory. Sorry, can you say? Yeah, yes, I only know Krishna as my Lord. And he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He's completely free to do anything and everything, for he's always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. And thank you very much for that. And so it's a... and Prabhupada also quotes in his calendar, failure is the pillar of success. Somebody like to guess what that means or have a, not a guess, but an understanding of that? Failure is the pillar of success. It's in the transcendental calendar. Yeah. Yes.
And we realize that we can't do it by ourselves and we need to kind of cry out to Krishna for help.
Yeah. Like it's very humbling, isn't it? It's that's the point, is that's part of this verse. Again, it's in the Shikshakshikam. Trinadapi suni janataro eva sajnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya shadhari. Such a high level of standard is this verse. That some we must feel that actually that we are insignificant only in that it's in relation with Krishna and those great devotees, that somehow we have to seek the mercy of the advanced devotees, and that means humble inquiry. Is in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, isn't it? that we have to go to a bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him. Self-realized souls, they can impart knowledge to you, for they've seen the truth. And that's the interesting part too. They've seen the truth. Now, Maguru Maharaj, he quoted this part. They've seen the truth. What they speak, they're actually experiencing. They see it from within. And so they're able to share that sound vibration, like Prabhupada has done. He shared his sound vibration because he's convinced he is experiencing in his inner vision what he's speaking. He's giving us a sound vibration. And it's just like the salesman, when they're convinced of their product, they can sell anything. It's like books. If we're convinced that these books are the best and they're a chance for other people, like we've been given a chance, then it's the best. And this is, I suppose, a plug for the Sankirtan guys out distributing Prabhupada's merciful books. And that actually they're just distributing the mercy that's been given to them. And that they're so enthused, they're good salesmen. They're doing their best in all circumstances. And so their austerities are quite great. And but you get people like Shivaram Swami, who's done all that sort of thing through his early devotional life. He was a book distributor like no other, and in freezing conditions in Canada, and yet he's become is the spiritual master that we know of today. And so there are many spiritual masters in with ISKCON now that are just still there today. They've seen the upheavals of ISKCON, but they're chaste. They're fixed. They're there. And it's not by chance. We have to appreciate that. We have to see that. That actually, no matter what circumstance, that somehow we have difficulties with the spiritual guide, the spiritual master, that actually, that they're the ones that are right, and we're the ones with our misconceptions that sometimes that we might even dispute with them foolishly. So we have to be corrected and chastised and realize that these are special people. They've gone through this wonderful history of ISKCON, still chaste and existing to Prabhupada as Maharaj Parikshit is chaste to Lord Krishna, and his brothers and his heritage, and also he was initiated too. So I think I better finish there, actually. Okay, any comments, questions? Sorry, it's a bit of a rambling class, but...
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
I just have a question. In the purport, it's wrote that to become a pure devotee of the Lord,
yeah,
Krishna, two things are very much essential, namely having a chance to be born in the family of a devotee. But then in the chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, it said that those who were born in a family of non-faithful and even prostitute can attain the perfection of life if they take shelter of devotional service.
Yes.
I just was wondering, because it sounds to me contradictive.
Yeah, can you tell me which part of the purport you're referring to?
It's just the second paragraph. To become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, two things are very much essential. Namely, having a chance to be born in the family of a devotee.
Oh, yes, yeah. But it doesn't matter. As I pointed out earlier, that maybe we're all just mercy cases. Prabhupada's mercy. All of you here are expansions of Prabhupada's mercy. All people doing service here are expansions of Prabhupada's mercy, manifest in different services. So Krishna says, devotional service is non-different from him. That actually, they are Krishna. There's no difference between the Lord and his service. They are both on the transcendental plane. So because we are carrying out some sort of service, it's a special privilege. And we just got to be, see it as that. Even though you're having a difficulty, it's still a privilege going through these difficulties, because it says no pain, no gain. Failure is the pillar of success. You'll learn by it. You must treat every difficulty you have as a lesson, not as that I'm a failure. That's a material calculation. In the material world, when we don't get what we want, we're a failure. But in spiritual life, we're not. It's just, as Bhaktisiddhanta says, the road or the path to God is paved with thorns. So expect some discomfort. You must do it. But if you willingly, still are resolute in your determination, like Parikshit, no matter what, to just serve Krishna, no matter what circumstances. And certainly we're all going to face it. If we live in an ashram or in the temple, or an ashram in the grihastha section of the devotees, that you're going to face difficulties. But they're just paths, a part of the path of your... Srila Prabhupada says in his transcendental calendar, a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. So let me do it with my full attention. So everything's part of Krishna's plan. Everything comes from me, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. So let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. Forget what, pajari, toilet cleaning, whatever. It's on the transcendental plane. It's service. You don't discriminate. It's part of Krishna's plan. It's good for you. And then it says, let me become absorbed in such service. And that reminds me of that quote about that Radhanath Swami said. What is the most important thing? Anybody know? Can you remember that quote I said once? What you're doing now. Yeah, what you're doing now. That's the most important thing. Not what's happened in the past. Not what's going to happen in the future. You'll arrive there anyway. It'll come your way. So you don't have to worry. And that's why Krishna says, don't worry. Surrender to me. Don't worry. Masujaha. I'm your friend. So that's an instruction for Krishna. If you worry, that's on the material plane. You don't believe Krishna, that surrender gives you everything to what you're doing now. Gives you everything. Live in the now. So that's the most important thing, what you're doing now. So don't worry about, for me, it's very difficult, especially an uncontrolled tongue. It's, I do look forward to prasadam, I must admit, but but that's my, you could say, my obstacle, my lusty side. you know, the bodily needs, you know. And that's my foolishness. But it says, another Radhanath Swami said, don't start what you can't finish. So if you like glob jamuns and you like them too much, don't start them. You know what's there. You know. Because it's very difficult to break these habits of opulent foodstuffs and all this sort of stuff. This is why we have to follow the instructions laid down. A little bit of maha, that big, will take you back to Godhead, if you have that faith. Not a big plate like that. That's why they're trying to moderate, so that everybody gets. That's why Ananta's having so much difficulties, because people want to take so much. But the idea is that he says limit the plates and the size of the plates, because the power of you're not appreciating the power of maha, that you want to fill your belly instead of distribute to others. This is the whole idea, the whole principle of having somebody in management that's trying to do the best for everyone. Do you see? Do you see what I mean? Yeah. So there's difficulties because Mahaprasadam's very attractive, like Krishna. You know. So I can only say I wish them well, but Mahaprasadam is powerful. Don't treat it like a mundane thing. It's special. That's my plug for the day. No, but if an authority's trying to do something, we should play along with it, actually. We should help them, assist them, and make sure, you know, that if we see a little bit there, a crumb, grab it. It's not, oh, not that it's finished. No, there's still a crumb there. Take it. Yeah, okay. I think I better finish here. Got to give the cleaners a chance, haven't we? To have breakfast and clean. Okay, so, okay. Anything else really important? Yeah, sorry. Was there anybody else? Suitable.
Thank you, Prabhu. Just on that point of not being born in a devotee family, just to build on what you said, like in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, then he makes this statement and he says, I gave up the small world of family life to accept the whole world as my family.
Oh.
So there's a sense in which the Lord kind of accepts you into his family, even if you weren't born in a devotee family. Prabhupada said the same thing, actually. He said, I gave up family life, I gave up a few sons and daughters, and now I have thousands of sons and daughters.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada accepted you into their family, the Lord accepted you. You know, Prabhupada, the devotees would go to Jagannath Puri and then they would say, you know, like, Gotra, Gotra, what's your family? Otherwise, Prabhupada said, tell them you are Achyuta Gotra. You are in the family of Krishna.
Yeah.
And then I'll just one other thing on that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Amritavani, he's also asked, why is it that devotees or those who enter the Krishna consciousness movement take birth in all these families which... And his reply was that they take birth in all these families to encourage all future generations that anyone can become a devotee. If everyone only in the Krishna consciousness movement was born in a devotee family, people would think it's restricted. So he said it's Krishna's arrangement that, you know, devotees take birth everywhere so that the world can see the transformative process of Krishna consciousness which transcends any of these material considerations.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sutta, because it shows that what we should understand, if you are in a family of devotees, is that we should be appreciative of that. We should be grateful. We should be really grateful of this chance, and as an opportunity that because somehow or other you're on the path, carry on, and not be ungrateful, you know. Okay, thank you. That was very nice. Thank you. So we're now in a big family, Prabhupada's family. He built a house that the whole world could live in, didn't he? Yeah. So, Jai Prabhupada, Jai, Jai, Hare Krishna, Jai. Thank you for your kind attention.